the Asia Pacific Report on Sabahul Muslim with Sanusha Naidu.
Good morning, Sanusha. Welcome.
Good morning.
The Omicron variant, how is the region dealing with its footprint?
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 weeks ago when we looked at the region and looked at the pandemic and what was happening, there were countries that were willing to open up their borders. They were going to go back to try and have some kind of normalcy and so forth. But now that the new variant has hit the globe, I think the panic, chaos, the mayhem has reappeared. And not just in Asia, I think across the world. So you've got countries like Australia wanting to put up more stricter bans in terms of travel restrictions and so forth. Japan noted its first case, I think it was, and also wanted to do a soft restriction, but decided that they needed to do a harder restriction. And then Hong Kong, where there was a detection, and I think not more than one case was detected, of course, there's travel bans there. So I think what the Omicron variant has done is that it's just thrown the world into a complete chaos now, where even if there was a sense of normalcy coming through in terms of lifting bans, opening up the economy, it's gone back to a complete lockdown in parts of Asia.
The new faces of hunger, inflation's hunger caused from Singapore to Philippines. Tell us about that.
In the last several months, what we've seen is there's been an FAO report suggesting that because of not just the pandemic, but because of erratic weather patterns, as well as the effect of the pandemic in terms of socioeconomic challenges, countries like India, Singapore, Hong Kong, you know, there have been a whole kind of redefining of what is going on. So in a country like Singapore, they've been very careful on how they actually put meat on the table. In India, they've been basically using the lamp oil to actually be used in food. In the Philippines, people have become much more careful about whether or not they can buy certain vegetables. So what has happened in the last several months is that with the spike in oil, with the fact that cost of transport, logistics and supply chains have actually increased, this has now created a knock-on effect for hunger. And as usual, it's the poor that are basically being caught in the crossfire of this. So right now, what you're experiencing is, even in South Africa, with the increase in the petrol price and the fuel price, you're now going to see the throughput cost of that and inflation increasing, and that's what's happening. But it's changing the face of hunger in the context where in Asia, across the region, where people were able to perhaps survive on street food, etc., even those dynamics are changing. So hunger is becoming a serious plight in the world today, and not just about the pandemic, but I think it's also because of changing weather patterns and also the way in which it's affecting food production and sources.
India's parliament has repealed the agriculture reform laws, but farmers are vowing to keep up the fight. Why so?
Well, I think in this context, there was a lot of pressure on Modi, Prime Minister Modi, as much as they tried to push this into law. The protest by farmers in India was quite emphatic. It was quite endemic, and so they had to pull back the law. But the farmers in India are saying that this is not the end of it, that they actually want to be able to have much more flexibility, much more ability to determine price at market, as well as not constantly be fighting these battle lines. So I think the farmers in India have now decided that it's not enough just to repeal the law. They need more rights, and they need their rights to be exercised in a much more applicable and affirmative way. So they decided that if the Modi government or if the Indian government can do this in the future, that the farmers need to protect themselves and insulate themselves against this. And that's what they are going out on this trajectory.
All right, Sanusha, thank you as always for the update. Have a great week.
You too. Cheers.